Praise the Lord. We could come together again today. This is the last day of the feast. Amen. Thank you. The Lord has spoken a lot to us this past weekend, and especially last night we learned that when we sing, we need to put some feelings into it. And this morning it was good. We all put our feelings into this song because we are a joyful people. Amen. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our King. And we need to be happy, and we need to be joyful, because all the wonderful victory that he has won for us. So in Isaiah, we have these first 12 chapters. And today we come to the last section of this section, the last chapter, the chapter 12. And in this section, there is a hymn of praise, because we, as the redeemed, the remnant of the Lord, we shall return with this new song. Amen. And this is a wonderful song, and it's really worthwhile for us to get into it. During Isaiah's time, the nation of Israel, as we know, was taken captive to Babylon, and God gave them up due to their disobedience and the hardness of their heart. They were, and we are, rebellious, stiff-necked, and we even worship idols, very idolatrous. So God was very angry with his people, and he judged them severely and seriously, and they were taken captive to Babylon. Can you imagine? This is what has happened to the very people that God has chosen. God has commanded them, and yet they repeatedly, over and over, did not obey the Lord's word. But here in chapter 12, Isaiah prophesied that God's redeemed will return. Amen. Amen. And return with singing unto Zion. Yeah, this is a wonderful song. Let's all turn to chapter 12. Maybe we could read all of this, all the verses. Yeah, it really speaks for itself. I don't really need to say very much. Amen. And that you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. Amen.
And you comfort me.
Yes.
Behold, God is my salvation.
Amen.
I will trust and not be afraid.
Yes.
For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song.
Amen.
He also has become my salvation.
Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can see from the beginning of this song, though God was angry with his people, but his anger, praise the Lord, is turned away. And the Lord comforted his people. Behold, says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah the Lord is my strength and my song. Yeah, it's good to have this song. The Lord is our song. Amen. And He also has become our salvation. Amen. We saw this again last night and we were reminded, salvation is not just forgiveness of our sins. Salvation really means a full and complete healing. You know, when a patient is discharged, they are made well. And when you are healed, you are not only saved, but your entire being is completely healed. What is your reaction? Yes! I don't want to be in this hospital anymore. I am well. I'm walking out of here. And I hope I'll never come back again. This should be our reaction. Amen. Right? We need to be healed by the Lord. The Lord has a wonderful salvation for us, much more than we even expected. So I remind you in Jeremiah 17:14, it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." Here, the matter of salvation and healing is put together. It's very clear. It's the same thing, right? To be healed is to be saved. To be saved is to be healed. And when we pray and cry out to the Lord to heal us, we shall be healed. Amen. And we shall be saved. Amen. And then it says, "For you are my praise." Yeah, this is wonderful. So now we come to this verse 3. It says, "Therefore with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation." So there are three very important items in this verse. One is joy, right? We need to, therefore, with joy. And then the second thing is draw water. And then the third thing is from the wells of salvation. Yes. So the wells of salvation is really much more than our initial salvation from the lake of fire, from eternal damnation, right? Because as we have seen this whole weekend, there are so many things in us needs to be saved. Our heart needs to be healed. Our mind, our feelings, and our disobedient will all needs to be healed. And the Lord needs to do this to us. And it needs to be done day by day. Every day before you go to bed, pray to the Lord. Lord, heal me. Right? There is more in me that needs to be healed, that needs to be restored, that needs to be made well. This is the wonderful salvation that the Lord has provided. And we saw in Romans 5, verse 10, it says, "Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Right? So, yes, we have been saved, but we shall be saved, right? By His life. We were once saved, but it doesn't mean that it's over. We're just going to wait to go to heaven. No, there are still so many things in us that needs to be saved. So we need to experience the salvation by the Lord's life. And in Hebrews, it says, chapter 2, verse 10, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Yeah. Today, we have not yet been brought into glory, but we are in this process. So this requires the wells of salvation. And the Lord today, He is the captain of our salvation. He is fighting for us, fighting against the enemy, fighting against death, fighting against sin. And we need to follow Him, right? We need to cooperate with Him. We need to follow His leading. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to walk by the Spirit. He is the captain of our salvation. and he will continue to save us until we are fully brought into glory. We need to enjoy this wells of salvation. In Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost. Yes. The Lord's salvation is not just going to be a little bit here. It needs to be a little bit more until it goes to here and here and even here, here, uttermost, right? Our entire being needs to be saved. Spirit, soul, and body. The Lord needs to save us. We need to come to this wells of salvation. This is a wonderful, it's a plural wells of salvation, right? Not just one salvation, many wells of salvation. The Lord wants to save us. And that's why 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yeah, our salvation has a goal. Our initial salvation, we're only saved in our spirit. Our spirit was regenerated. God came into us, making us his children. But this life needs to be mature, needs to grow, so that one day we could be those who are ruling and reigning with Christ as co-kings. And this will happen if we cooperate with the Lord. We will reach the end or the goal of our faith. There is a goal to our faith. Many Christians don't even know there is a goal to their faith, and it's not to go to heaven. It's to bring the heavenly kingdom down here on earth. And by this, our soul needs to be fully saved. So the Lord today wants to save our entire being. We talked about the renewing of the mind. Daily, our mind needs to be renewed. Even as you're sitting here, don't let your mind think about, oh, July 4th, what am I going to do? Renew your mind, right?
Fireworks.
That's right. Oh, Lord. And then we need to have a loving emotion for the Lord. Right? Didn't we talk about this? The Lord is our beloved. Is he also your beloved? He needs to be, right? Our heart needs to be on fire for the Lord. We love the Lord. We want to keep his word. Yeah, with our whole being. And also to have an obedient will. Our will is so wishy-washy. Today, yes. Tomorrow, I'm not sure. The day after, I don't want to have anything to do with this. This is our fallen will. We always choose the wrong thing, starting from the Garden of Eden. We need to pray, Lord, heal me of such a fallen will that I may choose you. Okay? So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This conference is about preparing us for the Lord's coming. And may we experience such a wells of salvation. Right? And then with joy. Yeah. Our sister has a good name, right? Joy. Yes. Yeah, we all need to be joyful. As believers, we should be the most joyful people on earth. We really should. You think about it, right? We are preparing to go to a wedding ceremony and a crowning ceremony at the same time when the Lord comes. Why do you need to be sad? Why do you need to be mourning, right? No one goes to a wedding. Be happy. Be joyful, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. We need to have such a joy to get us to the goal, right? If you're always moaning and moping and griping and complaining, murmuring about your situation,
Well, then that's your choice. Right? We have such a wonderful goal, and the Lord has given us such a wonderful purpose. Amen. We should be the most joyful people on earth. Amen. It's really important for us to know this. Let's actually turn to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, regarding this matter of the joy of the Lord is our strength. Just a brief background on this. During this time, the captivity of the remnant actually came back. This is in Jeremiah chapter 8. And they found the word of the Lord that was hidden. And they finally discovered it, and they brought it back. And Ezra, Nehemiah, yes. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. This whole time I was saying Jeremiah. Sorry. Nehemiah. They sound similar. Yeah, chapter 8, verse 10. Sorry. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Yeah, I couldn't find this verse for a while, and then finally when I found it, I was so happy. Yeah, so in Nehemiah chapter 8, at the end of the last part of verse 10, it says, "For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Right. So when the captives came back, the remnant came back that was prophesied here, they found the word of the Lord. And Ezra, the scribe, and Nehemiah, and the Levites were reading the word of the Lord to his people for the first time since captivity. And when they heard the word of the Lord speaking to them, they all wept. I think this was partially a tears of joy. But Nehemiah reminded them, do not sorrow, right? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's really so. Yeah, when we hear the speaking of the Lord, when we see the Lord's word being fulfilled, there really should be a joy within us. And this joy will cause us to make it to the goal. This is really marvelous, right? And so in Psalm 48 verse 2 says, beautiful in elevation, this is regarding Zion, and it says, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Yes. Zion has a characteristic, and that is we are the joy of the whole earth. We need to be the ones taking the lead to give glory to our God. In 51, verse 12, Psalms, when David prayed, not only create in me a clean heart, O God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Yeah. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Psalm 132, verse 16 says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud with
joy.
Yes. We need to be joyful, right? So it's with joy that we need to draw water. You say, oh, that's all Old Testament. Well, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? The kingdom has three characteristics: righteousness, peace, and joy. We really need to have the joy of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the saints of the Most High God, right? So we have every reason not to look down on ourselves and feel sorry for ourselves. If we do that, we need to stop. We need to remind one another, especially when we come to the Lord's table. This is really not a time for mourning. The Lord already resurrected and ascended and is seated on the throne. We need to be happy, joyful, right? Ah, so many years of tradition. Oh, thank you, thank you. So, I saw nothing concerning the feast. Nothing. Right. Just tradition of men. We really need to be reminded of the word of the Lord. And then the matter of drawing water. Right. Drawing water, by the way, requires some effort on our part. Right. Because we need to pump the well. You know, today, when we want water, you just turn on the faucet, right? And then the water will come out. Or press the button, or... Exactly, yeah. Right, sometimes don't even need to, just, you know, it'll come out automatically. When I was... That's right, you have to move, yeah. Yes. Yeah. But when I was growing up, I visited my grandparents' home. They live in the countryside of Taiwan. They actually have a well. And my grandmother would go out in the morning and pump the well. You know, the well is, you know, quite deep. Yeah, you have to. And then, so I would try to help her. It really stuck in my mind when we were reading these verses, drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. Yes, the initial salvation is free. It's by grace, right? But afterwards, we need to cooperate with the Lord. We need to draw wells out of this salvation, right? And this reminds me of this story in John chapter 4. When the Lord went to the well with this Samaritan woman, and the Lord said to her, "Give me a drink." And she says all kinds of things. And then the Lord says, Jesus answered and said to her, this is John 4, 13 and 14, "Whoever drinks of this water," that's the water of that well, "will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Yes. The Lord today has installed himself as this fountain within us. But we need to turn to it, and we need to pump it, and we need to use it, because this water will come. And this water will quench our thirst. Not only so, it will heal us. This woman at the well, she is really, really sick. Really. Not physically sick, but inwardly extremely sick. And the biggest problem is she didn't even know it. This is the problem to her. We think we are fine, but we are very sick inwardly. What was her sickness? Yes. Definitely, right? She has had 5 husbands. And she is living with one who is not her husband. This is real sickness, right? This is the problem with men, right? First husband, too short. Second husband, not enough money. Third husband, not smart enough. We are never, ever satisfied. Yes. She can have 1,000 husbands, it will still not quench her thirst. This is our problem, right? This is the problem of all mankind today. We are drawing from the wrong source. because of our sickness. We need to come to the Lord as the living fountain of life. Yes, Satan injected his poison into our flesh. Hey, the Lord did one better. He installed himself as the living fountain into our spirit. And this fountain not only will quench our thirst, it will heal us. He wants to cure us. Yes, we have an incurable sickness, but the Lord is able to cure us. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. If we drink of this living fountain of life, we will be satisfied. We will be filled. We don't need any other husband. We have the Lord as our husband. Right? It's really important for us to experience the Lord. And that's why in Isaiah 1, the Lord says, wash yourselves. Make yourself clean. It's funny, huh? So obvious, right? But we don't do it, right? Before you go to eat, what do? Wash your hands, right? It needs to be automatic. But the children of Israel were eating with dirty hands this whole time. And it poisoned them. And we need to learn to cooperate with the Lord. The Lord says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, and put away the evil of your doings before your eyes. It's funny. The Lord says, cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Isn't that obvious? Yes, it is, but we don't do it. Right? Why does the Lord says cease to do evil? Because we are just evil. We're evil from the day we were born. That's why we come out with a all babies should come out with hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because we never cease to do evil. Right? Troublemakers. We need to stop. Yeah. Because the Lord is our salvation. And learn to do good. That means learn to follow the way of the Lord. Cooperate with the Lord. You know, the apostles in the New Testament all tell us this. In Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Yes, salvation is free. That's the initial salvation. After that, we need to work out our own salvation. Right? Do you all work out? Yeah, you work out, right? I need to work out more. But there is a workout that's even more important. That is salvation, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to do this. Paul did this, and Paul is encouraging the saints to do this. Right? And in chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Yeah. You would think that once the Lord Jesus appeared to him, that's it. I'm done. I got my ticket to the kingdom. I can relax. No. He, of all people, says, I press on. Okay, I realize, hey, if Paul needs to press on, I better press on. We need to go forward. Paul has such an attitude. I want to gain Christ. Right? We need to gain Christ. We don't have enough oil yet. Gain Christ. Buy the oil. Buying means paying a price. It costs something of our soul life. Actually, when we are there in that day in the glory, we will look back and we will say to ourselves, that soul life actually was not that expensive. We will kick ourselves if we don't do it. Right? The price is really cheap today. Buy it. Press on. Right? Gain Christ. And in Hebrews 12 says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance. Every time you go running, think about this verse. Run with endurance. We need to run with endurance. Paul was running all the way until the end. He says, I finished the race. I fought a good fight. We need to have such an attitude, right? Speaking of running, in Hebrews 12, verse 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Yes. The Lord's salvation is to help us to make it to the goal. Yesterday, John was giving this example. When we are doing other things, worldly things, soccer, Disneyland, we have lots of energy. When we come to the things of the Lord, right? I thought about this verse. We need to be healed. Our knees need to be healed so that we can run this race. Amen. Yes. You know, not only Paul says this, Peter also says this in 2 Peter 1:10. Says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. There are no lazy apostles. Right? All the apostles were faithful, diligent, pursuing, running. We have to follow their examples. Yeah. You say, oh, maybe John was the exception because John was always lying on the breast of the Lord. No, that's not true. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We need to overcome. John is the one who wrote the book of Revelation, the overcomers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and did not love their soul lives even unto death. He was speaking from his experience. We need to overcome. Yeah. And John was the one who says, do not love the world. That's not easy. But John says, do it, right? Overcome, do not love the world. So we need to follow their examples. I really appreciate seeing that God has given us all a free will to choose him. And he will never force us to draw water. And he will not force you to press on. And he will not force you to run. He will not force you to do anything. You could just stay the way you are if you like. But why would you? God did not create us to be robots. We're not in the Silicon Valley making robots. Artificial intelligence. Yeah. They're actually not very intelligent. That's why it's called artificial intelligence. Right? It's not even compared to human intelligence. But for God's work, we require heavenly and spiritual wisdom. Right? May the Lord help us. Yeah. We are here to do the Father's business. Amen. We are here to do the fine wine producing business. Amen. The kingdom building business. And for this requires our cooperation with the Lord. Yeah. And so the Lord today needs volunteers, right? We are the volunteers in the day of the Lord's power. The Lord sounded out the call. Right. But how many will follow? That's why the word says, many are called. But very few decided to follow. The remnant, remember, less than 1%. Right. Unfortunately, we pray that the Lord make us that less than 1%. Yes. We are those who will be willing, right? Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yeah. We need to be willing and obedient. And then the Psalm, Isaiah 12, goes on, praising the Lord, calling upon his name. Amen. Amen. After seeing all this, we realize we have much to praise the Lord about. Right? After seeing how the Lord healing us, making us his wonderful bride that matches him in every way, and making us to be able to rule and reign with him, to bring in his kingdom on earth. Yeah. When we sang this song today, I have real feelings. Crown him with many crowns. It's not just words from here. It's really words of appreciation. Praising the Lord. Calling on his name. Amen. Yeah, it's really amazing. Psalm 116 verse 12 says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah. After the Lord has given us so much, what more can we say except to call upon his name? Romans 10, verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Yes, we use this verse in preaching of the gospel. We also need to pray this for ourselves. Yes. Salvation continues. We need to be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. We shall be saved. There's a passage in Luke chapter 19. The Lord brought the disciples to the Mount of Olives, and there was a multitude of disciples beginning to rejoice and praising the Lord with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen. And so they were saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, remember them, call to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples, tell them to be quiet. And the Lord says, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The chairs will cry out. The piano will cry out. The guitars will play by themselves. We have to praise the Lord, right? This is not the time to be mourning and to be silent. It says, declaring his doings, his deeds among his people. Declaring means we need to open our mouth. It's not good for us as Christians to be silent today. To come to the meetings as if we have nothing to say. Really? We have nothing to say? We're not in a library, okay? We're not in a cemetery. We're in the house of the living God. We should have a lot to say. We should be full of praise, full of thanksgiving, full of a joyful heart. Yeah. Psalm 30 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This needs to be our experience in the church life here in Fountain Valley. Declaring his deeds among his people. Amen. I so much enjoy our table meeting now. Everyone is declaring wonderful things that the Lord is doing in us. Yeah. This must be glory to our living God. You know what? This gives him a drink. Right. This is the drink that the Lord was after. This is why I understand now. We got into the true worship of the Father. It's all coming together. It's really, the Bible is amazing if you have the eyes to see and the mind to understand. Father's desire, true worshipers. Worship him in spirit and in reality. We need to really go on and come prepare. You know, when you meet in Fountain Valley, you will be reminded every week by this brother here, come prepare. Right? Come prepare. We need to be reminded over, because we forget. We go back to our old tradition. We just come and we sit and we sing a few songs and we go home. It did nothing to us. But if we come prepare, if we labor, if we gain Christ in our daily life, we come with our hands full, we will have much to say. Amen. Our mouth will be open. You can't stop us. No one can stop us. Do not be silent, says the Lord, right? And not only so, today the Lord is blowing the trumpets, declaring his deeds among the people. It sounds like loud, right? You don't declare the deeds among the people. What? Right? Trumpet is an instrument that is really loud. And it needs to be blown with clarity and certainty. Yeah. And it's not just the gospel of salvation now, it's also the gospel of the kingdom. And the Lord needs to help us. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." Imagine. In chains, he was preaching the word boldly, that I may boldly speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to follow this trumpet. Right? This was a very clear and certain trumpet player. He needs us to join. Yeah, there needs to be many sounds for the Lord to come back. Yeah. And today, as we are sharing this prophecy in Isaiah, these first 12 chapters, the Lord is calling out the remnants. Right? Out of every place where you have been in bondage, it's time for you to leave. Amen. Come back to Zion. Come with singing unto Zion. The Lord says in Revelation, "Come out of her, my people." Amen. We are the Lord's people. Amen. We don't belong to any man, any organization. We belong to him. Amen. He needs to gather us. Yeah. We need to be the remnant of the Lord. Amen. Lord, we want to be the bride that can satisfy you. Amen. We want to be the church that you are desiring. Amen. So Revelation 18, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues." Yeah, the Lord needs to really help us. Amen. Amen. Those to whom the Father has been preparing, the Father has been choosing, those who are faithful, those who are willing, may the Lord gather them. We don't force anyone, but may you hear the Lord's speaking. Amen. Yeah. So Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Amen. If you are a redeemed of the Lord, say it. Amen. Say so, right? He has a good name. So, you don't need to be shy. We don't need to be bashful. Right? We need to say it. I am a redeemed of the Lord. Yeah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, "And they sang a new song." Oh, so many songs in this conference. Yeah. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Yes, this needs to be really our experience. And we need to exalt his name. In this first 12 chapters of Isaiah, there are so many names of the Lord that were brought up. Right? We need to exalt his name. Here, in these few chapters, he is the Lord of hosts. Chapter 1, verse 24, the mighty one of Israel. Chapter 4, he is the branch of the Lord, shall be beautiful and glorious. In chapter 5, he is our well-beloved, right? A song of my well-beloved. Yeah. In chapter 7, oh, as Jake shared, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Yeah, this is a wonderful name. This is the name of the Lord. We need to exalt him. In chapter 9, verse 6, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Chapter 11, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And don't forget, he is also our physician, our healer, Jehovah Rapha, or Raphaka. Yeah. And here, he is also the Holy One of Israel, right? In our midst. Yes, we need to really exalt the Lord. In the church, we should not exalt anyone. But we need to exalt the Lord. We don't exalt a man. We don't exalt one another. We exalt the Lord. Because the Lord has done excellent things for his people. Great things for his people. So in these first 12 chapters of Isaiah is really one complete section. And in this section, there are two contrasting songs. And I happen to just share both of them. Not by choice, just assigned. First song in Isaiah is a sad, disappointing failure of God's people as his vineyard. But the second song here in Isaiah 12 is a joyful, triumphal return of God's redeemed back to Zion. Amen. And this is a hymn of praise and exaltation to our God. Amen. After 2,000 years of the Lord waiting, finally, the Lord, our dear beloved bridegroom, will get his glorious church. Amen. We have to believe this. Yeah. And our worthy king will finally be able to get his kingdom among us so that he could come down to earth. May his kingdom come. Amen. May his will be done. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Great things he has done. Yeah. Such a wonderful, wonderful chapter. May the Lord speak to us. Amen. Amen.